This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So the only thing left to say is, you in? Order now on the McDonald's app. You can also get reward points delivered too. So the ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus. Rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
All right, kids, it's nearly Christmas. It's match week 17 of the Premiership League of England, and we've got Man City away. It's not a main road, the Etihad. All day I've been looking forward to saying at the start of this, the boys are back together, but unfortunately Mr. Clark can't be with us. But we've got Pat. It's great to see you again, Pat. Look, I'm going to talk about West Ham straight away. I only went to that game because you were going. Because although I love the stadium, the whole experience isn't that brilliant, especially getting away from the ground. Did you enjoy West Ham, mate? As in an occasion and an event and going to a game? And
I had a fantastic time. So I want to just first thank Chris Clark for getting the tickets for me. I'd only ever been to one away match in my life because, again, when I was young, my dad wouldn't let me go to away matches. And then, of course, I've been away from the country for 40-plus years. So when I went back, I think in 1990, took my then-to-be wife, my fiance Wendy, to White Hart Lane. Jeff Thomas, I believe, scored the goal. It might have been Mark Bright. I know we drew 1-1. So that was my first ever away game. And this is my second. Listen, I had a great time. Well, first, Nick, great to see you because I'd seen you obviously in 2015. I definitely remember taking a picture with you outside of Sellers. And great to meet your son, Will. Great kid.
It was way tight at that time. Yeah.
It was great to spend time with you, sharing a sausage roll before the match and just going there, you know, doing the pre-match content was fun. It was a great experience. Listen, and then that's the only game we got a point out of. So obviously you and I are both lucky charms together because that was just fun. I mean, being in the away section, we had great seats in 118. It was just fun to be in the Palace section. The atmosphere there is horrible. I don't know how away games are in general. I think West Ham fans are terrible, but the Palace section was great. And it was fun to be there. I really had a fantastic time. I didn't know if I've told you that, but thanks again. I really, really, I loved it. I really loved it.
And let it be known that our Patrick was singing his little heart out, bless him. He was singing all the way through. He was having a whale of a time. And then he got suspended. Half hour in the rain waiting to get to Stratford Station to get away.
Well, I will say this. Remember, I left you guys a little early. So
yeah,
I actually got out pretty, it wasn't bad. You know, they have the, you know, people there doing the stop and then go, stop, go. I actually got to the station pretty well. And then from there, Sunday, I went somewhere after because every time I went to a match, I did something after with a family member. I went somewhere after, met maybe my brother or someone. But I got out, I actually got out there pretty well. I'm not going to lie. Getting out of there is a nightmare. I know what people probably say about that. But no, I actually got out there. It actually worked out pretty well. So, yeah.
Yeah. Well, we're back at the Nets to working on a bit of a skeleton crew. I ended up doing a kind of joint preview pod. Crossover and went live on YouTube with him, and
I enjoyed that.
It was good to chat with Dion, and I hope a few people who saw that are listening to this. And if you're listening to this and heard that last week, that you've decided to look over the YouTube content. But because they're West Side Skeleton Crude, the match report seems a bit like the Mary Celeste, doesn't it, Patrick? So I suppose we better talk a little bit about the Liverpool game. And I think we can only talk about it in the context of how appalling we were against Bournemouth. And actually, we played better. Okay, the result was similar. We lost. But the fans got behind the team and we were in the game, were it not for, well, the sending off. But the disparity in yellow cards between the two teams who committed the same amount of fouls. I know you can say on paper, it's easy to say that. You've got to look at where they were on the pitch, the position of other players and the potential for chances have to be taken into effect. But there were Liverpool players that I saw the referee counted on his fingers 1, 2, 3 times, saying that you've done that 3 times, don't do it again. And the only yellow cards they got were deep into stoppage time, kind of as an afterthought. Was it as shocking as I thought it was in real life, Patrick? Or are we just making a meal of it as an excuse as to why we didn't win?
So, Andy Matthew was the referee. I do remember about 5 or 6 times when Dee and I have done either post-match shows or player ratings, we talk about how bad he's been. So first off, he's a terrible, terrible, terrible referee. Being at the stadium, I had a really good view because, again, season ticket holder, main stand, with my friend AJ from the back of the nest, YouTube. So the seats are great, right between the 18-yard box and the center circle towards the HF. So really good seats. So you can kind of see a lot less going on. I didn't watch much today when I was in England. I didn't have the stomach to do it. But I actually just watched the NBC.
Gary Lineker's not that bad.
Say again?
Gary Lineker's not that bad.
That's your opinion. I actually like some stuff he does.
I like Gary Lineker. I was just riffing off your fact you couldn't stomach match of the day. But.
No, I really couldn't stomach watching the replay of that match because watching it back just now, over here they had Robbie. Oh my gosh, this is embarrassing. Robbie played for Wimbledon player.
Robbie Earl,
and actually Phil Neville did the post-match and pre-match over here. And they both said on the IU that they thought the first yellow card was very harsh. He was trying to back away and was given a yellow card. And the second one, which I thought in real time when I watched it was a clear breakaway for Elliot, wasn't a clear breakaway. It was just an attempt to tackle him at the halfway line. So I think both cards were very harsh. I thought, as the fan said, who's the Scouser in the black? Andy Maddie was absolutely terrible. He was awful. And as you just said, I think it was Konate came in at halftime, committed 3 fouls within 5 minutes and didn't get a yellow card. So I don't know what he was doing. What he wanted to do was, what he did was, he wanted to make sure that Liverpool got a point, or in this case, all 3. It turned the game. Obviously, injuries to Edouard and John Stone and Mitchell did not help. But we deserved the point in that game. And it's frustrating that, you know, to play so well, having played so poorly against Bournemouth and the fans turning on Hodgson and him making those comments, to bounce back and then get nothing out of that game was, as I said, I was gutted at the time. I've gotten over it, but that was a very tough thing to stomach in person.
Talking about Roy making comments, we've had a lot of hard ones to take. This is from the Palace website after the game. This is just another one along the way. I'm gutted for the players because I'm gutted about the way the game panned out. I think having to play the game with 10 men for the last 15 or 20 minutes was unbelievably harsh on us. I don't believe it was worthy of the way we played. To play with 10 men for the last 15 minutes in a game that up to that point we've dealt with well was a really, really harsh outcome and certainly not worthy of what the team produced up to that point. It's saddening to watch games like that, where the team does so well as what the boys did and worked so hard against all the odds and having to go along having lost 2-1. We'll talk about the injuries in a bit. But it says, I can praise them for their performance today and say they were so unlucky. I can blame lots of things, but the bottom line is a game where I thought after 75 minutes we were looking likely to win 1-0 and we lose 2-1. Now, that's on the Palace website, Patrick. He made some other comments as well. Did you see those? about being disillusioned.
I don't read Hodgson's comments post-match. They are I don't read them. So you want to share, you can go ahead and share them.
No, I haven't got them to hand, but it's how he was disillusioned with the game and how it wasn't so much VAR that was doing his head in, but the handball rule and the fact that you've got England players being unprofessional, getting players booked, kicking the ball against IU.
Who did that? I don't know. Was it Alexander Arnold, I guess?
I think it was, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, okay, I didn't realize. Okay. Like I said, I didn't really go too deep into any kind of post-match content. It's just, it wasn't really my thing.
Which was dispiriting, really. It was good that he spoke out. He's really a grumpy old man, Martin, now, isn't he? He's speaking his mind. And sometimes, 20% of the time he's actually hitting the target with what he's saying.
Good point.
So who was your Palace man of the match then? The Liverpool guy.
You know what? We talked about that in the post-match. We did so Dee, myself and AJ did a live match reaction from the freezing cold fan zone. And I think I picked Nathaniel Clyne because I thought Clyne did a great job versus Salah. Even though Salah scored a goal before that, one of the best players in the league by far. I hadn't even remembered him being on the pitch. I said, Clyne's playing left back, not right back. So I'm pretty sure I would have picked him because I can't remember who else was there. I love what Mateta did, by the way, for the goal. I know that Ward, and I heard now post-match, Ward was told to give the ball to Ayew, but JP's like, no, I'll take it. And then Ayew got upset. But for him to take that ball, exactly. That's what I was afraid of because, listen, our fans already don't respect him or don't like him. A lot of them, I should say don't like him. I think our fan base is very fickle and any mistake that he makes, they jump on. I know that's his first league goal, so it's not like he's Erling Haaland, but I've always taken a liking for JP. I'm not lying. So I was so happy when he scored that goal. So good for him. So, there.
Yeah. But let's leave the Liverpool game. Because the injury to Sam Johnson, Edwell coming off with a knock, and did I also see that Lerma possibly?
Mitchell got injured the match before, you're right. So that's three out of, four injuries in two matches, right? That's right. Yep.
So let's look forward to Manchester City.
Oh, God. Dear God. Look
and
forward.
I'm going to get you with the head-to-head first. And then we'll do the stats and stuff. And then we'll talk about how Palace are going to line up. Okay, so we have played Manchester City. The first time we played them, when do you reckon it was?
Oh, my book's down. I bought the 1861 book. Have you finished that book? The book that's written, that's in the club shop about Crystal Palace history?
No.
Well, I bought the book to... I almost gave it away what I'm doing with that book. Anyway, I bought the book, but I didn't get a chance to go through it yet. So I know City have been around for a long time, but they're up north, we're down south. We couldn't have been that I'm going to say 1925, I guess. Just got like that number.
No, you're very close. It was 1921.
Oh, wow. I was 4 years off.
Yeah.
I'm getting better. FA
Cup, and we beat them.
Okay.
Now, I know we've been going for 60 years. We had our 60th anniversary celebrations in 1921, didn't we? Obviously.
We did. Yeah, exactly. Clearly had it.
But we were still a fledgling club. So I don't know how much of a shock that was because I don't know what division Manchester City would have been in then.
Good point. But let's be honest, Nick, between you and me, right? And I hope there are no Man City fans listening to the podcast.
Between you, me, and the listener.
Right, exactly. They weren't a big club until they were bought by the Saudis. Let's be not Saudi. Kuwait. Whoever bought them, they were not a big club. I mean, when I was a child, the only thing that Man City ever did was they won the FA Cup 1 year, I know that. And in 79, they lost to Tottenham in the FA Cup final. Besides that, I don't really, was that, no, 81. Was it 79 or 81? They lost to Tottenham. Ozzie Aldiles, no, it had to be 81 after the what? No, 80. Help me out. What year did they lose? 78, he came over with Ricky Villa.
Yeah.
Was it AE1 they Vicky V scored that goal? Whatever. The replay. Man City were never a big club until 15, 20 years ago. So their history is very short. But anyway, I'm sorry to go off on a tangent.
See, when I was thinking about the question, you know, who's your favourite Man City player ever, which we'll do now, I'll kind of go with my thinking, because you're talking about them not being very successful. I mean, the FAS Cup, is that, what's that like, the UEFA Championship now? I don't know.
The equivalent. It's the UEFA Europa League now. It used to be the UEFA Cup. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. But I've thought of, like, Colin Bell, Franny Lee.
That's the one from that same era.
I don't
fat,
really.
Fat Franny Lee. I like Fat Franny Lee. I don't know why.
But I don't. I'm a little bit young for them.
Nope, I got a better one.
My favourite.
Yeah.
Is Toure.
Wow. Recently, again from their recent era, makes sense.
But he was. One of the best players I've ever seen play against Palace.
I agree.
In some of those fixtures. But there's a book out called Manchester United Ruined My Life. I don't think it sells many copies now, because it was written by a Man City fan complaining that they'd been in the doldrums of the third tier English football.
They were, you're right.
Man United were winning everything. How things have changed.
Yeah. Look, think about your question though, going back on history, my favourite player would have been Rodney Marsh. Because he was so eccentric.
You know
what I mean? Rodney Marsh was, obviously more QPR, but I think Rodney Marsh is probably my favourite Man City player. Because that was in my era, you know, the whole, you know, George Best era or whatever. I love Rodney Marsh. I mean,
can you say Dennis Law as well? I mean, he famously relegated.
I would have picked him, didn't he? Yeah. you know what? I would have said that, but he played for City, for two seasons? I mean, not that Roddy Marsh played longer, but you're right. It would have been, my second one would have been Dennis Law, because then any guy that relegated Man United has got to be one of my favourites. So that's a great point. Yes, let's go with Dennis Law. You're right. I like that one better.
And is your favouritest ever Man City manager Steve Coppell?
No, Malcolm Allison.
This is true.
Well, Steve Coppell. My era. Steve Coppell's
off. How long did Steve Coppell last? Was it 3 days or 30 days? It was a very short amount of time at City.
I forgot he managed them until you just said that. So honestly, I didn't. I know Malcolm Allison always did, but I don't remember. I didn't remember. I forgot that Coppell, sorry, had managed them. So I couldn't even tell you. I could look it up, but I'm not going to waste our time.
And the other player I associate with Man City is Joe Corrigan.
Oh, the goalkeeper.
Third keeper.
Yeah. Third keeper. Yep. Big Joe Corrigan.
I feel we're kind of putting off how we're going to get slaughtered.
Of course.
So in order to prolong that, I picked a game from the past, and I went back to the 18th of September 2004, when 25,000 people at Selhurst Park saw Manchester City beat Palace 2-1. Okay. Referee was Martin Atkinson.
Okay.
Can you tell me, two players scored, who scored for Palace, who scored for City, do you reckon? 2004.
You can't do that to me, right? So let me again explain my Palace fandom. The 2000s are a tough time for me to remember following, because remember, back then, internet might have just begun. I was probably following Palace based on the CPR FIS thing that they sent those rapid response emails out to you. BBC World Service on my shortwave radio.
Crystal Palace Fast Results and Information Service.
I signed up for that. It was the best thing ever. It was brilliant. So I don't, 2004, I couldn't even tell you. You got to give me the manager at least, and I can guess. Who was the manager back then for Palace?
The manager.
Yeah, and I can try to get the goal scorer.
Spironi was in goal. Okay.
19 years ago. Right.
Spironi is goal.
Early Spironi, though. Right? I mean, early Spironi.
I'll go through the lineup. Hudson, Paul, Boyce, Derry, Danny Granville, Michael Hughes, Aki Rialai, Wayne Routledge.
Stop.
Andy Johnson.
Goal scorer. Andy Johnson. Yeah, I'm going to go Andy Johnson. Goal scorer. I mean, it has to be Andy Johnson on that team, yeah.
Who was our other sub that day? He was a legend for Palace. Hungarian.
Well, it's not Sandor Torgeli.
Congratulations, yes, well done.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, who scored the goals for City?
Oh gosh,
this is a name I forgot. I'm just reading through this team that's kind of like got brilliance interspersed with like just. I'll make up a word. I'll let you make up a word. Right, Man City's team in goal: David James, Sylvain Distan.
Oh yeah,
Richard Dunn. That.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Danny Mills, Ben Thatcher, Joey Barton, less said about him the better, Claudio Reyna, Antoine Sibierski, Sean Wright Phillips, and this is the juxtaposition of these two. Just you will crack up. Nicholas Anelka, John Macken.
Oh my God, John.
Those two playing together, man. What's that all about?
I'm going to guess, though, goal scorer. Macken scored that day. I don't know why I'm going to guess him. John Macken scored. And I'll guess, this is American. I know he didn't score, but Claudio Reyna. But I know he didn't score either, so.
No, it was Nicholas Anelka who scored.
Really?
Yeah. And Sungji High came on for John Macken.
Former Palace player, Sungji.
Yeah, another connection there.
Benji, yeah, look at that. Wow. Yeah. That's a great, I don't know why you picked that game, but that brings back some interesting memories. So that's a good job there, Nick. I like that. 2004. Nice one.
Yeah. So I'm not going to go how many we've lost and won against them over the years, but let's talk about our injury list. I think it'll be easier, Patrick, to talk about who we've got available. So let's start with goalkeeper. Who's available in goal?
Remy Matthews and Joe Whitworth.
Okay.
Whitworth, but he won't start. He'll start Remy Matthews, unfortunately, because...
Bloke I know gave me a lift home. His son was in the Palace in South for a bit, and he actually did the stats for Football Manager for 3 years.
A little while
back. And... yeah, the second keeper you mentioned, he said, is absolutely, absolutely unbelievable. He's watched him through the years.
Joe Whitworth. Just
seen, yeah, Joe Whitworth, how he's grown. He said he's a little bit short, but as a keeper, he's the business.
I love him to start. But remember, he played last year against Arsenal and Brighton and lost both. But I thought he played well against Brighton, at least. Didn't play overly great in the Arsenal game. But I thought he played well against Brighton, so... He's played more Premier League games than Remy Matthews has played, but he's obviously like 8 or 9 years younger, or not even, probably 10 years younger than him. So.
Okay. So you want Whitworth, but you think it'll be Matthews?
I know it's going to be Matthews. If he's fit, he's not picking a teenager basically over a veteran.
Okay.
Talent gap.
So we've not got Mitchell, is that right?
No, I think he's still out.
Okay. What about Klein?
It'll be Klein, Ward, Gehi, Anderson, I'm going to assume, because they're all fit, I assume. Right now they are, anyway.
Okay. What do you make of Richards being played in midfield?
I thought against West Ham, when we were there, he did a great job. But I think that when you put him in there for a prolonged time, you see what he lacks, which is, you know, the ability to pass the ball, you know, forward more often than not, and also just to kind of, he's a defender by heart. He even mentioned, I think I watched a post-match interview after West Ham, he said that the difference for him playing defensive midfield and centre-half is that the balls go over his head. He's kept turning his head, looking at the ball, and now it's going over his head towards Anthony Gahey. So he can do a job there, but not prolonged. So I love him, and I'm glad he's playing, but he's just not a centre midfielder. Unless you have Eze next to him, and maybe Olise, you know what I mean? Or even Lerma and Eze, but we're going to have like one of the worst midfields in Premier League history on Saturday, because I like the players that are going to play. Well, it's ball one, I won't mention who. But the for them playing in the Premier League match against Man City, we're in big trouble. So,
I think a Hamada will get a start.
Oh, if he does, I'll be ecstatic. It's not going to happen. It's never going to happen. But yeah, if he does, I'll be so happy.
So
why do you think that? Why do you think of Hamada?
No, because I think just because we've got so many players out.
No, well,
yeah, we've got no Eze. We've got no Eze. We've got no Ayew.
Right.
Because he's red. He's got the
Ayew doesn't play midfield though. So talk about central.
No, but we'd use Elise in that position now. Maybe Schlupp. Okay.
No.
If we presume that Elise and Schlupp and either French Eddie or who else is going to play there if we're going with three up top?
No, we're not going to go. Well, again, to me, it's going to be Olise, Schlupp outside, and then if Edouard is fit, it's him or it's Mateta. The issue is the central three. So you're looking at Richards, who's played there, and he's picked Schlupp, who he's played in the pick, and you've got Will Hughes. So I don't see where Ahamada fits in. You also have Gyro. And again, I'm not sure Lerma's going to be out, so Lerma might play. So my point, I don't think there's any way Ahamada gets in there over any of those. And if you wanted to change up a little bit, like you just said, you would put Schlupp in the middle with Richards and, let's say, Hughes. And then you'd have, you just said, Edouard out on the left, Lise on the right, and Mateta up front. So I don't see any way Ahamada gets in there unless there's another couple of injuries we don't know about, because I don't think the manager trusts him that much. But I hope I am wrong. I love to be wrong when you're right, Nick.
So do I. No. It's a tough game. No, there's no two ways about it. We could approach it like we did Liverpool, try and take the game to them. Palace are known to sit back and counter, but we haven't really got, you know, Schlupp can be quick.
Hold on. You said take the game to who? To Liverpool?
Well, not take the game, but actually give them a good game.
Okay, that's different. Because if you want to look at the stats, which you won't do, we didn't take it to Liverpool. We just happened to play a decent defensive counter-attacking game. We didn't take it to them. I know what you're saying. Go ahead.
Yeah.
I agree with that.
Yeah, so if we can play that sort of game, rather than I think we should just write the Bournemouth game off. I still think, you know, I still feel the same about Roy not being there as quickly as possible.
I agree.
Especially with the transfer window coming up. Seems to be looming very quickly.
Well, Nick, let's talk about, I know we're going to talk, we're going to talk about Man City, but let's talk about the upcoming fixtures, right? So we have, I'm looking, where's my list? By the way, I purchased the, you people can't see, I've got the Liverpool program. I have the Bournemouth program.
Yeah.
I actually also bought the West Ham program. One of these should have the schedule, but I'll look. So just going, I know we don't do previews before previews, but we've got Man City, then we're going to have Brighton, Chelsea, Brentford, and Arsenal. Five next matches. What do you think it will take for Hodgson to keep his job with those five matches coming up? Just curious. One win, two wins, 4 points. What do you think?
Brentford, maybe. We have a chance of getting a point.
A point. So 1 point in five, you think, would keep him here?
We are due a surprise win. We haven't had one for a while. Just chaos theory type stuff.
Right.
Not based on any form or anything.
Okay.
But more hope than anything else. But yeah, 4 points maybe. I mean, it all depends on how we play, Pat, doesn't it? If we play like we did against Liverpool with intent and whatever, because we're talking about Vieira having those difficult games, but it lost it. Is the Liverpool a one-off? I don't know. As I've already said, I'd rather that he went sooner than later, because as you're right, your point being that if we don't do something in those games, then he should be gone.
I disagree.
You know,
with you. Go ahead.
Go on.
Now you said that, you know, Vieira lost it, but I bought the annual, which is great. It recaps last season. So I'm gonna backtrack from when he got fired. So he got fired, he got canned after the Brighton 1-0 loss away. Before that, we lost 1-0 to Man City, same team. You know how we lost that game? Remember we lost it because Olise had the silly foul and Haaland scored the penalty. Then we lost on the own goal to Villa away. We drew against Liverpool. We drew against Brentford again. Everyone wants to go back. That was the 96th minute goal by Jan Elt. We drew Brighton at home 1-1. We lost narrowly to United 2-1. We drew Newcastle 0-0. Drew with Man United 1-1. Lost 1-0 to Chelsea. And then we had the first beginning of that run was terrible. We got smashed 4-0. I think we got better as the run went on, not worse. We ended up going from 4-0.
No, listen, what happened?
Results-wise.
Smashing.
I'm telling you right now, because I know for a fact, he was not fired because of results. That's not why he lost his job. I know for a fact. He lost his job for another reason, which I won't get into. He didn't want to lose the results.
You can't drop stuff like that in this.
Because I want people to tune into next time when I might tell you the actual truth. But the truth of the matter is, if Hodgson doesn't get a win in the next five, he's gone. He should be gone anyway. But yeah. And by the way, the teams that I just mentioned were all above us in the table. We are now 15th. 15th. Where did Vieira drop to in all that bad run? Where did Lois ever drop to in that run? Where were we? We were 12th FC. So as bad as people want to make it out to be, we were never this close to relegation. So I don't care what people want to say about Vieira and last year.
The first result on that list, not the first one you read, but the first one in the string of bad results? It was when we lost badly at home to Tottenham 4-0. And that was the Vieira turning point. If you go back on the timeline, that's when we turned to Joss because he was so fearful of getting mugged like that in the game.
I disagree.
And you can read out as many results as you like, but they weren't the best games to watch, Patrick.
Oh, and this is good to watch? This is good to watch under Hodgson.
I didn't say it was.
This is worse.
This is worse. When I was on the show last week that I did with DR, I mentioned, well, you said you listened, so I mentioned the HF banner from, I think it was 2020, 2019, and just nothing's moved. Nothing's moved on.
I agree.
So all we can do is just, look, sad is a free hit. It was always going to be a free hit, no matter who our manager was. Yeah. Even if we had prime Terry Venables.
Yeah, but I'm afraid there are no free hits left for Hodgson. After the comments that he made and how we've been playing, I'm sorry. If we get beat 5-6-0, he can't survive that, Nick. That's not a free hit. That's going to be a sacking. That's how I feel anyway. He can't get beat 5-0. He could get beat 1-0. He could play like he could, a gutsy 2-1 like or 1-0 like Liverpool. If we get beat 5-6-0, he's not going to survive that. He's just not. Can't see it, but we'll see.
If we, what we'll do, the stat man, and then we'll talk about today's referee. So, have you got any stats for us, Pat?
Yes, I have 4. First stat, Palace have more clean sheets, 5. Next stat, Man City ranked first in goals scored this season with 38. Second is Liverpool with 36. But they have no clean sheets in the last 5 matches, which I guess would be good if you think we're going to score a goal. And the last two stats, Erling Haaland has scored 14 goals this season, top scorer in the Premier League. Palace, as a team, has scored 15, one more than Haaland.
That's actually better than I thought. So that's cheered me up. Okay. They have been a bit ropey. That's not as bad as I thought it would be. And they've got players out. I'm presuming they've got injuries as well. If I did any research, I'd have researched that. But things change. Paul Tierney is our ref.
Oh, please.
Yeah.
Don't like him, but I don't like any referee, so that's not even being fair, is it?
In all time, Hang on, let's have a look at this. Sorry about this, Patrick. I'm just sorting out my internet here. Right, Paul Tierney had refereed Crystal Palace a total of, come on, internet work. Oh dear, never done this. I'm going to refresh this page. Right, let's try again there. Right, he's refereed us once already this season. I don't know when that was. Who that was against. He's refereed us 14 times and never shown us a red card. He's refereed Man City 21 times, never shown them a red card. Going by results, that's Jarvis being a good boy in the background there. Sorry, listeners. Domestic life and all that. Of the 14 games he's reffed for Palace, we've only lost 21% of them. We've won 42% and won 35%. However, and it is Man City, so it's no surprise, they've won 90% of their 21 games that he's refereed. So there are no surprises there. You're still there, Patrick?
Yeah, I was sort of waiting to get past the Paul Tierney stats, so thanks for that, Nick.
Sorry about that. So let's hope that we have a match report this weekend. What's your prediction for the game to talk about it? Hopefully a very jammy 1-0 Palace win, which is going to be my prediction.
No, it's not. You're not really going to pick Palace to win that match. You've got to stop going with your heart and go with your head. That's a ridiculous prediction. I hate to say it, but that's ridiculous. You're basing that on heart only. Are you going to do that for the next four matches too? Against Brighton, for instance. An Arsenal and Chelsea. You can do that too. A jammy Palace 1-0 win. Is that what we're doing right now? I'm not doing that. Come on, be honest. What do you think is really going to happen? I know you want that. We all want a 1-0 win. What do you think is going to really happen, Nick? Come on, be honest.
Yeah, probably be 3-0 then, wouldn't it? At least.
There you go. That's honest, because yesterday I had to jump on and help DR do a preview because the other lads were ill or busy. And DR and I both said 3-0 to City. We don't want that to happen. I want Palace to win, but I cannot see any way Palace get anything out of this match. I just don't see it. Now, it's the Man City part, the way we play, the managed situation, and the injuries. We have so many injuries, Nick. I mean, I can't see. Remy Matthews, by the way, is in goal. Let that simmer for a second. All right? Remy Matthews is going to be in goal on Saturday. Okay? Not Sam Johnstone. So just saying that. I mean, I'm not saying he's poor. I'm just saying that I've never seen him have a good game yet for Palace. So there's that. So I'm going 3-0 City, just like you.
Just like me.
Yeah.
Well, on that cheery bombshell, I suppose we shall say au revoir for this week. Patrick really needs to have a sleep, an afternoon.
Yeah, I'm exhausted. I'm a little jet lagged. It's only been 2 days I've been home. So. Yeah. But again, it was great seeing you, Nick. Great seeing you.
Oh, and well, you can slip back into retirement. There's me yesterday thinking I it's my last day of school tomorrow, but no, I finish next Thursday.
You're a week off. Wow.
Yeah.
That's not good.
But yeah, it is what it is. So catch us on Spotify. Tell your friends about us. Spread the word. Give us some likes on Spotify. We've got a Facebook page. Search Back of the Nest on your internet. So you'll find us on TikTok as well. Don't forget
Instagram.
Don't forget, check out the YouTube stuff because DR is he puts a lot of work into that.
So, he does. His credit, yeah. He works very hard on that. So support the young man. He's got a good heart. And we went out to Nando's on Sunday. So he's also quite funny in person. Cheeky Nando's on Sunday was quite nice.
You went to a nice posh Italian place down the road from me, didn't you?
Yeah, how do you say Quattro Rizzi? Let me tell you something.
Yeah.
Unbelievable place. Oh, I didn't get that place. Chislehurst is a very, very nice place, by the way. But yeah, what a wonderful restaurant that was. Italian food. Oh, I love Italian food. My cousin is so posh. I loved it. It was a great time. Yeah.
Oh, what side of the family is that? Oh, well, I won't go down there.
My mum.
All right. Okay. Well, look, throw me off talking about food. Anyway, catch us where you can. Patrick, thank you.
Thank you, Nick. Great hosting. Yeah.
Thank you, Future Mike, for producing it. And thank you lot for listening. Hopefully we'll speak again next week. Up the bloody palace.
It's the 90th minute. All your mates are round. You've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Your mates already got booked for double dipping, and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee, and terms apply. See McDonald's.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.